Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Third down and 6 at the 27-yard line now. Key down here. Montgomery to the left of Trubisky takes the snap. Mitch looking to throw. Mitch with time. Mitch going to roll to his right. Mitch going to toss it now to David Montgomery down the sideline. He's inside the 10. Works to the middle of the field left. He's in for the touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. Third and 6, 27 yards. Catch and run. David Montgomery on the bailout throw by Mitchell Trubisky. Ad-libbing it. Bears in front, 6-0.
Do you, though? Do you like where you're at?
I would say we're just okay right now. You know, I think we expect a little better, but I'm not criticizing our players and coaches. That's a part of being in the second week with no preseason. So we have high expectations and we want to be better. So I think that's just speaks to who our guys are as people. Yep.
Chicago Bears head coach Pat Nagy talking to our sister station, WBBM 780, 105.9 on your FM dial immediately following the game. You, of course, are at 670 now. Maybe you're at 670thescore.com for our Prop Swap post-game show. It is great to be with you all. I'm Hub Arkish along with Patrick Manley. And Pat, I'm going to run down the scoreboard in a minute, but we promised Reimar before we went to the break some thoughts on his question. The optics of signing Tariq Cohn while the Allen Robinson drama lingers on and the question of the contract that Tariq got. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, whenever I hear these questions, I try to go back to maybe situations I was in the locker room when I played. And the only one I can kind of come up with of maybe optics that felt weird to me were when we did not sign or we were late to signing Lance Briggs. You know, a guy that we knew was a key part to that defense, a key part to our locker room. And I don't know all the details. You probably remember better the details better than me. But I'm sure we signed some other guys during that time. And I just remember feeling like, man, we got to sign Lance. I just wanted the best, you know, one of the best players signed so we could have him to win more games. So I'm sure guys are thinking that way, that, you know, we need Allen Robinson. He's our best receiver, maybe our best offensive weapon. You don't feel bad. Well, let's go to the optics thing about Tariq Cohen getting paid. You never feel bad about a good teammate getting paid as well. So that one, to me, there's no win or loss on the guys getting paid. You want everybody to win. And I just think that as far as the locker room, I think, you know, they want Allen Robinson back. They want him paid. So please try to figure out a way to get it done. You don't want to see a guy like that walk. But I'm just trying to think back to that Lance Briggs situation that, you know, we didn't want him to leave. We're like, come on, man, we need that. We need him and Urlacher together, Peanut and those guys. And I'm sure guys feel the same way about Allen Robinson.
Yeah, you know, guys, the problem with us commenting on this, and I'm not going to cop out on you, but we don't know why he's not signed, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, without being part of the negotiation, how do you say one side or the other is to blame? I would say as far as the Tariq Cohn deal, there's a couple keys here, and Patrick nailed the first one. The guys in the locker room want to see everybody get paid. You know, they're not going to be unhappy for Tariq because of Allen's problem, and they're not going to fault Cohn for getting his deal done, and it was a much easier deal to do. Reimer, I can tell you, That's right about where Tariq Cohen should fit. This is a guy who's been to the last two Pro Bowls. He's been an All-Pro in just 3 years in the league, and he was paid as a third down back and specialist should be paid. The guaranteed $9 million over three seasons is nothing, you know, if you think about it. And if he hits all the incentives, which he has so far, even at $18.5 million, $6 million a year, that's right where he fits. So it just wasn't a difficult deal to do. And Drew Rosenhaus is his agent. Drew, you know, knows these deals like the back of his hand. He was smart enough to know that if they pushed their luck, they weren't going to get anything. And you do not want to. The problem with Allen being unsigned is, God forbid, one of these guys gets a serious injury, you know, in the last year of a deal. And then they got to hit free agency, which is what happened to Allen Robinson last time. And that's why A-Rob was as unhappy as he was. The Robinson deal is much tougher. We talked about this in the pregame show. People talking about the Robert Woods deal. The Robert Woods deal hurts more than helps because A-Rob's got to get more money than that. He's a better receiver. He's more valuable. I think it gets done this week. I think that the Bears know that if it doesn't, they are creating a problem for themselves. And even more than that, you know, you've got this situation where, you know, what's next? You see all the other drama that you got going on here with this football team. Get this out of the way. Allen Robinson was involved in both interceptions today. You know, we've talked about this. I'm not blaming him for either one, although the second one, he could have avoided that. You know, now Bradbury made a fantastic play. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
There's no way that A-Rob was thinking about anything but playing football. It's not like he was distracted. It's not like it had anything to do with the contract.
100%, Hub. 100%.
But, Pat, people are going to talk about it. And that's
I know. And I just, that's what I'm going to get that point across. You go to Soldier Field on Sunday, Monday, Thursday night, whenever you're playing. You don't think about that contract. All you think about is your job and playing the best you can so you don't get ripped on Monday in meetings and win the game. I mean, those are just kind of simplifying what's going on through guys' heads.
What happened today had nothing to do with it, but it's exactly what you don't want because it plays into the hand of all the conspiracy theorists, and now you got more drama. The other thing I will tell you is, like everybody else who does what I do, been working sources all week long, I know of four teams that contacted the Bears almost immediately to make trade offers, or at least to find out if he would be available. Don't know what the offers were. None of them were going to be good enough. The Bears told every one of them, and this is my sources with the other teams, not with the Bears, saying the Bears said he's not on the market, period. And so what that tells you is they're trying to figure this out. And so, you know, I don't think they can afford to go another week and go to Atlanta this way, but we're just going to have to go a day at a time and be patient. So, Reimer, I would not fault the Cohen deal. Don't worry about the optics. Maybe fans do, but players don't, I guess, is the only way I can look at that. Quick rundown on the scoreboard here, guys. The Bucs answered well against a rebuilding Panthers team, winning 31-17 at home. Leonard Fournette was the story, not Tom Brady, with 100-plus yards on 12 carries and two touchdowns. The Steelers struggled a little bit with the Broncos. Broncos lose Drew Lock early in the game. He's their franchise quarterback. We hope that's not a serious injury. Jeff Driscoll comes in and keeps the Broncos competitive, but the Steelers hang on 26-21. The Rams get way up on the Eagles. The Eagles come back, and then the Rams put them away pretty good, 37-19. 49ers never really challenged in New York by the Jets. They're 31-13 winners, but 49ers lose Nick Bosa in that game, and there is some fear that that injury could be serious. Buffalo had their hands full in Miami with the Dolphins, 31-28, a 29-point fourth quarter. The Dolphins actually win the fourth quarter, 15-14, but the Bills get the win to go to 2-0. Vikings, not competitive. Kirk Cousins throws three interceptions. Colts beat them 28-11. I think the Colts are going to be a really good football team, but on the heels of Mike Zimmer's six-year contract extension, this is not good stuff. The Vikings have been non-competitive the first 2 weeks of the season. How about those Jaguars? The Titans hang on to beat them 33-30, but Gardner Minshew, 30 for 45, 339 yards and three touchdowns. Minshew mania looks like it may just be for real. Packers never really challenged by the Lions, 42-21. Don't know anybody who expected any different. Here's the game Bears fans should have their eyes on. The Falcons were all over the Dallas Cowboys for 58 minutes. With 2:50 left, they're winning by 9 points. Cowboys beat them 40-39, outscored them in the fourth quarter 16-10. The Atlanta offense is outstanding, over almost 1,000 yards. I got to check the numbers here in two games. But in two games, they have now allowed 79 points. So this will be a fascinating test for Mitch Trubisky and the Bears offense. Other games in action, Ravens up on the Texans, 10-0 in the second quarter. Apparently I was wrong about that one. Chargers beating the Chiefs 7-0 early in the second period, but the Chargers playing with them. And the Cardinals all over Washington in Arizona, 17-0. We certainly should not be surprised by that. Pat?
Just the Cowboys Falcons game. While the last break, they hit an onside kick, and I've never seen it kick like this. So if you are bored, or listeners are bored, or you're on your phone, go check out, I think it's Pat McAfee Show. I think that's his Twitter handle. He commentates about it. Greg Zuerlein lays the ball flat on the ground, no tee, and kicks it end over end, like spiraling on its sides. And it just trickles over the 10-yard line. The Cowboys jump on it, recover it, and I guess go down and win the game. But it's one of the most amazing onside kicks I've ever seen. So go check out at Pat McAfee Show. He talks about it on there, and it's just super impressive. And the Cowboys won this game, Hub, with three turnovers. They had three turnovers and came back and won. 3-0. So that's a pretty impressive win.
And leave it to my favorite partner here to find a show from a specialist about a special teams play. So,
but can't help myself.
Man. No, I'm anxious to see it because I can't believe the Cowboys came back and won that game.
I am very anxious to see it.
And Pat McAfee is nothing but fun, guys. If you don't follow his podcast and his shows, you really have to. All right, guys, we're going to work the phones now. I'm not going to keep you guys waiting any longer, I promise. Dial us up at 312-644-6767. Jake on the south side, you are first. Jake, how you doing? Jake, you still with us? Nope. Looks like maybe Jake couldn't wait. Mike, let's throw that on hold in case he's still there. And let's go to Rockford and see if Dave is still hanging on. Dave, are you with us? How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm going to say something that Hub will disagree with, and that is the one good thing that I saw in the second half was not seeing Tariq Cohen. I think that the Bears not signing A-Rob and signing Cohen shows further ineptness, like giving $13 million to Mike Glennon. I don't know what the love affair is with Tariq Cohen. He'll run 20 yards in a circle to gain one. Everyone thinks that's exciting. I'd rather run Montgomery all day long and not see Cohen anymore.
But Dave, can I ask you a question before you hang up? Stay with us here, Dave. You do understand that Tariq Cohen in 3 years in the league is a all-pro and a two-time Pro Bowl return specialist and third down specialist and one of the more exciting players in the game, and they didn't spend that much money? I understand that you're unhappy that A-Rob didn't get paid. I understand A-Rob didn't get paid yet, but I mean, Tariq Cohen's a really good football player.
Keep him on special teams, not on offense. Keep him on special teams.
I got to disagree with you. I think you got to keep him on offense. I think there are sometimes maybe Matt Nagy uses him in a different way than I would. I think Olin and I have talked about it on pregame show last year, is that use him in the slot a little bit more as a mismatch to the linebackers. You know, to me, he's getting too many carries and running it straight up the middle. Yes, he has the home run potential, but I'm not a big fan of that. But I also think he causes a matchup problem for when the Bears put in certain personnel and coordinators got to kind of match up with that. So I think he helps other people get open. And I would like to see him maybe lined up in the slot a little bit more. I think that was his first year, Hub, right? He lined up in the slot a lot and was a matchup nightmare for these defenses, and it seems like he's gone away from it. Maybe it's something in the packages that they're holding on to, because you're not bringing everything out the first 2 weeks, especially with a limited offseason. So maybe we'll see more of that, but I would take Tariq Cohen on my team any day. I just think he's a dynamic player. Like you said, he's a good special team. He's a great special teams player, and then he can cause a matchup nightmare, and he's always got a chance to hit a home run. And what I do like so far, Hub, this year too, he's not running out of bounds like he did last year. Mm-hmm. It felt like every time he was running out of bounds, and you're not seeing it as much. So I'm happy they signed him, and I think in today's NFL, that amount of dollars is not that much for what he brings to a team.
Yeah, no, it's really a very reasonable deal when you look at what he's accomplished so far. I have another thought on Dave's comments about Tariq, but I'm going to hold that for a few minutes. We'll come back to it because we got callers stacking up now, and I don't want anybody to have to hold too long. Mike, let's check real quick. Did Jake on the south side, did he drop or is he gone? Okay, so let's get out to Evanston now and welcome Chris into the program. Chris, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. Great win for the Bears. I saw some things I was really excited about. We got better from week one to week two. I mean, I'm seeing every team in the league, really. You could tell there was no preseason, so I'm happy with the progress. The most exciting thing for me is last year, after every game, I was just so frustrated with the lack of the run game, sticking to the run game. I was ready to fire Nagy. I couldn't stand him, just play calling. I'm loving what he's doing these last two games. And I just think we're heading in the right direction if we just stick with this formula, and all the credit in the world to this offensive line because they're run blocking.
Chris, thank you for the call. Patrick, your thoughts?
Yeah, let's just talk about the run game real quick. I love it. I love what Juan Castillo and the – I guess he's the run game coordinator now – has brought to this team. He's found these guys and put them in position where they look comfortable. They look fundamentally sound. I'm not saying they weren't before, but they just – it looks like they fit this offensive scheme a lot better, and they – they're mixing it up great with Montgomery, Cordarrelle Patterson, and Tariq Cohen, like we said. But I really like what I see. And what I did love, Hub, is them coming out in the fourth quarter and getting that chunk yardage at the end. I wish they could have finished it off and run the game out and even got closer for another field goal, or for a closer field goal to make it a chip shot. But that, to me, like you said, you know, you're seeing progress. That is big-time progress compared to last year. So that is encouraging, and I hope it just keeps going, moving forward, because – that's not a bad front. You know, not the greatest linebackers for the Giants, but their front 3 to 5 are not bad players. They're pretty stout guys, and to see them move them off the ball and get some chunks like that was encouraging.
Yeah, Dexter Lawrence is a manimal, and he made a few really impressive plays today. Leonard Williams is a very good football player, even if he never quite lives up to his top five draft status. And they did do some nice things. The other guy was impressing me more, even though he did have the very costly chop block penalty today, Jermaine Ifeanyi clearly is a guard. This is a guy who struggled playing tackle more than guard in Seattle. But if you're looking for a run grading guard, you know, Olin made the comment in the pregame show, he just looks bigger than everybody, and everybody else is 6'3", 300, you know. So I'm impressed with his play so far. They're struggling up and down the line in pass protection at times, and hopefully that'll come. But Chris, you know, I think you make some fair points. You know, we got to look at the good and the bad. But this football team, they were better this week than they were last week. And I'm not sure the Giants aren't a little better team than the Detroit Lions. You know, they gave the Steelers everything they could handle last week. They did not quit on, you know, on the Bears today after Barkley went down. People tend to forget there's two teams on the field, and you can't just discount the opposition just because, you know, they're not the best team in the league. So believe me, I'm worried about a lot of things going on with the Bears right now. But they were a little better this week than last week, and I think there's things to build on. So, Pat, let's get one more call before we break. You know, as we do these shows over the years, we get certain callers who are with us regularly. And Steven down in Dallas never fails to check in after a Bears game. He is one of our more knowledgeable Bears callers. And, Steve, it's always great to hear from you. How you doing today?
Doing well. I'm actually in the process of moving to Columbus, so I'll be more closer to you guys. And this is my last phone call from Dallas. So starting next week, hopefully, I'll be calling you from Columbus more often.
Well, Steve, yeah, just promise me you're going to be cheering for Michigan once you get to Columbus. That's the important part for me.
Well, I got a no dog in night of school, but very exciting win. You know, the first half, I thought, oh, my God, they finally turned the corner. And for some reason, I can't put a finger on what exactly happened in the second half. I don't know if it was Chuck Pagano continuing to call the zone defense like 5-7 yards off the ball and giving up easy passes. Lack of pass rush was a little bit concerning throughout the game, you know, with the exception of, you know, Hicks, Quinn, and Mack, you know, the guys who are paid big bucks. You know, they're expected to do their job. So I want to know, what do you guys think of Pagano's overall performance so far as a defensive coordinator? And, you know, Montgomery has been a revelation. And I was really worried about when he got injured, and I thought, oh, my God, the Bears running game is going to suffer. But lo and behold, he came back into the game, and I don't know how he even came back to the game after suffering a horrific injury like that. And you know, the man's probably made of something. But, you know, I like the commitment that I'm seeing. And, you know, and I want Nagy to continue to do so. And I hope Juan Castillo continues to get in on his ears and make sure to run the ball, whether the Bears are up by 14 or down by 14 like we saw last week. And I'm going to predict that A-Rob will sign a contract within the next 48 hours. I'm going to call it 4 years, $75 million, and I'm going to say maybe 45 guaranteed. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you, guys.
Well, Stephen, thank you for the call. I you may be right about the 48 hours, but I will be stunned if A-Rob agrees for, and forgive me for saying this, folks, but it's not me. I'd take $45 million in a heartbeat. But in NFL money, that's just not enough. You know, you look at the deals, and maybe that's part of the problem, but you look at the deals that the other number one receivers who have the value to their team have gotten in the last 2 years, and they've all ranged between $55 and $60 million guaranteed. And my guess is that that is the hangup. I think the Bears are probably willing to give him the $20 million average per year, but they don't want to guarantee as much of it. And again, I'm just guessing at that. I do agree. I think the contract gets done this week because it has to. Whether it's the next 48 hours or not, we'll see. You know, thank you for that part. You know, David Montgomery, let's get the numbers out there. 16 carries for 82 yards. He averages over 5 yards a pop and 3 receptions for 45 yards and a touchdown. We were told when he was drafted that he is the Matt Nagy offense prototypical running back, a guy who can gash you from the line of scrimmage but also be a factor in the receiving game. He certainly was today. And as I said to Mully, Pat, I saw the injury, and I didn't tweet about it. I didn't want to say anything because it was so scary looking, and I was just thrilled when I saw him walk off the field, but never expected him back in the game. And you know, thank God for that. And now to kind of, I said that I wanted to add something to my last answer to Chris, and Stephen kind of set it up for me, and even Dave, who doesn't like Tariq Cohen on offense. Part of what I'm seeing here with both Chuck Pagano and the way he's using his defense and Matt Nagy on offense is they're still trying to get their arms around what they've got here, you know, because you've got to have guys winning their one-on-one matchups before you can start to run the games and the stunts and the blitzes that you want to run on defense. Now, Kyle Fuller and Eddie Jackson and today Robert Quinn and at times Akeem Hicks are winning their one-on-one matchups. Everybody else, you know, it's still up and down a little bit. And so I think before you start taking chances, you want to know who you can count on and who you're scheming around. Offensively, I think this is the year we're going to have to make a vote or cast a vote one way or the other. I can't make up my mind about Matt Nagy and his play calling and his offense, but I know this. He looks to me like a guy with too many toys and he doesn't know what to do with them. Because, you know, David Montgomery, Cordarrelle Patterson, Tariq Cohn, certainly Allen Robinson, even Jimmy Graham, what we've seen so far, that's 5 weapons on offense that you can really gash a defense with if you're using them properly. And it looks to me, Pat, like he's still kind of struggling to figure out how to blend all that and when to use them and how to use them. I'm not making an excuse for him. That's just kind of what I'm seeing. And I'm waiting to see him, you know, get more comfortable with it all.
Yeah, Hub, there's still some plays. I can't remember. I wrote them down, but they're too deep into my notes, but we'll just get the broad talk about it. There's some still plays that are called that make you scratch your head.
Yep.
You know, they rip off 2 runs and all of a sudden they're running laterally, or he calls some just, you know, pass that you're like, what's going on? And I think you're right that he looks on his call sheet. He's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about him. Let's call this here. No, just get the first down, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Just get the first down. Yep. Get the next first down. Get the next first down. And then if you get up by 17, have fun with that call just to throw it out there for other teams to have to plan for. But, you know, I do feel that way, too, because there's just a lot of head scratchers. You're like, what is, huh? Why are you, maybe are you feeling bad he hadn't seen the ball, or because you spent all week and you drew this play up and you're like, I know I got to get it in somewhere and let's throw it in now. And I'm not a believer in that. I just think that your job is to get first downs and score points, and I would like to see more of that, but maybe he is trying to figure these guys out right now. He's using it as a preseason and throwing that stuff in there, but we've seen him do it in the past, so I think we'll see it in the future. And as far as the defense, Chuck Pagano, I'd like to see him bring more pressure. And we said this earlier, but I'm just wondering, who are his pressure guys? We know Roquan Smith has done it well, Danny Trevathan a little bit, but is Tayshawn Gibson a guy that you can bring off the edge? Do you want to bring Eddie Jackson off the edge? I like Eddie Jackson staying deeper in the defensive backfield making plays on the ball. So maybe he's trying to figure those guys out as well. I don't know if Buster Skrine is the greatest blitzer. He's not the biggest guy. I know that when Sherrick McManus has been in there, he's pretty darn good with his special team skills and his size. So maybe he's just not comfortable with bringing those guys off the edge or getting them into his blitz package yet. But I would like to see a little bit more of that.
All right, Kevin is down in Decatur. Kevin, you're going to be up next. We got to take a very quick break here. When we get back, it'll be right to the phones at 312-644-6767. This is the Prop Swap post-game show at 670 The Score. We're back in just a moment.
That to Daniel Jones. Tight pocket.
Oh, ball.
Hit from behind. Ball comes out. Let's see who has it. Hits it around the 20-yard line, and the Bears take it away.
I think it was Robert Quinn. I think it was Robert Quinn that knocked the ball away.
Well, for last week, no, they didn't. But, you know, they for them to keep them where they were with 13 total points in this game and getting those turnovers and then playing pretty well this game, I thought, you know, you got to be pretty happy with that. So I'm happy with them. We can always be better. Our guys expect a lot. But, again, for Robert Quinn to come in his very first play and have a strip sack, you know, it does take a little bit of time as you start kind of creating who you are. But the only thing that matters right now is the 2-0. And then we just got to make sure that any area we can, we just keep getting better at it.
We're back with more of the Prop Swap postgame show on Sports Radio 670 The Score with Hub Arkish and Patrick Manley on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Presented by PNC Bank, the official bank of the Chicago Bears, and MailMedChicago.com, where a full head of hair is the winning play.
Welcome back to our Prop Swap postgame show. I'm Hub, he's Pat. We're going to get to Kevin in Decatur in just a moment. First, I just want to tell you that this segment is brought to you by Valparaiso University. The satisfaction that comes with living to your full potential is immeasurable. It's a quality of life that Valparaiso University graduates enjoy every day. At Valpo, your full potential receives our total commitment. Visit valpo.edu to request information, apply, or schedule a visit. And now we will get to the phone lines and welcome Kevin into the show. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I had a quick question about what game situations tell us the most about Mitch. It seems like he kind of flipped from his performance from last week. Last week he was kind of bad early, really good late. This week he was great early and then kind of tailed off. Does it make a difference if he plays well late trailing versus if he plays well or plays poorly leading? Are there any type of game situations where Mitch's performance tells us something particularly important about him, given that this is his fourth year in the league? Thanks, guys.
That's a pretty
Kevin,
good question, Hub.
I think, Pat, what we're looking for is consistency. I think what you really want is for him to play four quarters, you know, mm-hmm. and if he can't, he's not going to keep the job. So, you know, I mean, if I have to make a choice, I suppose I'd prefer late because of what he did last week. I mean, he saved that win. Without Mitch Trubisky's performance, you don't come close to winning that game last week. But it's not good enough for your starting quarterback, Pat.
Yeah, and the other one is that's a tough question. It's a good question, a tough question. But I think you're right. You'd rather have the second half because you're going to win the game really in the second half. But the great ones are consistent, and then they also bounce back. You know, they might throw that just – head-scratching interception or just that crazy, say, like an interception like Allen Robinson on the sideline. How do you bounce back from that? I kind of equate it to like a kicker that misses a kick that doesn't miss the next 10. You know what I mean? They bounce back and they're consistent. And to me, I want to see Mitch bounce back from that interception and then go the rest of the game and play a really clean game, you know, have a high completion percentage and score some points. So what I'd like to see is full four quarters and then, you know, when he does make a mistake, because it's going to happen, bounce back and be that consistent player again.
All right, Pat, before we get to Ronnie here, I just want to tell our listeners about the hottest new sports betting tool available. And it was started by two guys from right here in Chicago. This incredible website is PropSwap.com. It's like eBay, but for sports bets, you can buy and sell betting tickets with other players. And why would you do that? Because you can find the best odds in the country purchasing tickets directly from other gamblers. Looking for a ticket on the Bears to win it all? It's on PropSwap.com. Come join us. Check out PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets, and we are thrilled to welcome PropSwap this week as our title sponsor of our postgame show. And we're thrilled to get out to Ronnie, who is right here in Chicago. Ronnie, thank you for calling. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, gentlemen, and good afternoon. I had two comments I wanted to make, and then I'm going to hang up and hear your comments on it. First off, on offense, tight end play. Didn't see too much of that. in the second half, and the second one on defense about Danny Trevathan. I'm not seeing too much from him either. It's like he was kind of silent and ghosted in the second half. I think we got the wrong linebacker. Should have kept Kukowski, but they like Trevathan. I don't see too much out of him as a playmaker. And I'm going to hang up, and you guys have a good afternoon.
Ronnie, thank you for the call. I'm not selling Danny out this quickly. I'm not sure what's going on there. I don't know how healthy he is. Remember, what took him out last year was that gruesome arm injury. So, you know, as far as his ability to run and make plays, other than the fact that he hasn't played tackle football for almost a year until last week and this week, it's hard to know what's going on. He was not visibly bad today, Pat. He just wasn't on the field as much.
Yeah,
you know? And some of that may have been, I mean, you know, when you see Deion Bush out there making an interception, they're in a dime package, and so Danny's mm-hmm. probably not going to be on the field. But I don't think they were in the dime all day long, you know. So I'm not sure what to make yet of what's going on with Danny Trevathan.
Yeah, I think it was after halftime, I started looking out there more and just noticing it was more Roquan, and I think they were going more nickel and dime, and maybe just, again, this is a game, like you said, it's easier when you get the coaches tape to kind of get the all 22 view of seeing what their personnel is exactly. It could be a personnel matchup. That's exactly mm-hmm. what it could be, saying, all right, we've got to get him off the field to put just more DBs out there because they have more wide receivers out there. They don't have as many tight ends or running backs. But it was kind of shocking to see that because last week he was out there all the time when you saw four wides and three wides and all that stuff with their tight end and Hockenson. So maybe it is an issue. Maybe they felt that, you know, not having him out there, they'd be better. And Matt Nagy, like you said, they only scored 13 points against him, but they feel like they can do better. And then the Bears tight end play, that can also be a situation where your game plan against it are saying, all right, we're not going to let the tight ends beat us, and that's just not the option to go to. I know Cole Kmet had one catch. Jimmy Graham had a nice catch on a third down. That was a nice read by Mitch mm-hmm. in his own defense, finding him and making that throw a good throw to get the, I believe it was a first down. First down completion. Not sure if it was on a third down, but just on the tight ends, that can be sometimes a game plan situation where the defensive coordinator saying, he's not going to beat us today. I've got to let somebody else beat us. And you know that going in once you see how they're set up and you try to find the other open guys.
Yeah, let me qualify something I just said. And again, this is the issue with not having seen the tape yet. Deion Bush could have just been giving Tayshaun Gibson a blow. I'm not sure if Deion Bush.
Yeah, that's what I'm
field,
not sure either. Yeah.
Yeah, if he's on the field with Tayshaun and Eddie Jackson and Buster Screen, you know they're in the dime. Mm-hmm. But I got to go back and look at that play now and see which safeties were on the
right.
field. So I don't want to, you know, mislead anybody there. Ronnie, I Danny Trevathan is as important a leader on this football team as any player in that locker room. I mean, he's in Allen Robinson territory on the other side of the ball. And so maybe it's as much wishful thinking and hoping on my part. But I just don't think after these first 2 weeks that I'm ready to say that you know, he lost it overnight. I want to give that a chance and see how they adjust all this stuff. I'll tell you what, we're going to find out next week because as much as the Falcons defense has given up 79 points in 2 weeks, they've also scored 69 points in 2 weeks. So it's going to be a fascinating one next week. We are going to take a very quick break here. TNT is out in DeKalb, and you're going to be our next caller. This will be a quick break. We're back in just a moment right here at The Score.
Slayton left. Lewis left slot. Right side, Ingram along with Golden Tate. Third receiver out to the numbers. Cushion given. Snap back, Daniel Jones. Pressure Mack. Pressure throws. Incomplete and a throw over the middle. And a late flag is thrown. Golden Tate was begging for it.
Offensive pass interference.
And it looks like it's on the Giants. At least the discussion is headed in that direction. There's no time on the clock.
The official
pass was broken up on third down and
pass
six.
Interference.
Offensive pass Our interference.
The game is over.
Fade to black. Right down to the bone on this one. A pass incomplete. Offensive interference. And the Bears survive here at home in their regular season opener at Soldier Field. The final, Bears 17, Giants 13.
We're back with more of the Prop Swap postgame show on Sports Radio 670 The Score with Hub Arkish and Patrick Manley on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Presented by PNC Bank, the official bank of the Chicago Bears, and MailMedChicago.com, where a full head of hair is the winning play.
Welcome back, everybody. He is Patrick. I am Hub, and I want to give our thanks to our producer. We've got Michael Rankin behind the glass today. And Mike, he's still in his rookie year, but he's been around for a little while, about halfway through. His first time with us here behind the glass, and an outstanding job today. We had a few technical glitches at the top of the show, and the young man never blinked. So Jordan Malley on pregame, Mike Rankin on postgame. Pat, we are blessed to have people who know what they're doing here, because I sure don't. I've been doing this for years. I'm amazed we can get on the radio.
Hub, you ain't no rookie.
No, that's for sure. It's, I'm giving Pompey crap this morning for over 30 years covering the Bears, and it occurred to me I've been doing it over 40 years. So I guess I cannot sell that. But, guys, we are in the fourth quarter, but still a ways to go for the two-minute drive. So two-minute drill, I should say. As promised, it's time to go out to DeKalb, or go up a little north and west to DeKalb, where TNT is on the line. How you doing today, buddy? What do you got for us?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks. My concern continues to be a lot with the coaching decisions made, particularly late in games. Today, I think it was second and 25. They ran the ball 24 yards. They get to third and one. And all of a sudden, when they're running the ball down their throats, they go into no backfield with a shotgun. And, you know, you had two chances there to get a yard. And I don't understand that decision. I also didn't like when they tried the field goal from the 40-yard line, knowing that if they missed, they get the ball at the 40. And if you punt, the worst that happens is they get it at the 20, and they possibly get it inside the 10. And then just finally, about Trevathan, winter, whenever that decision was made, I thought it was short-sighted to extend him instead of locking up Nick Kwiatkowski. I think at this point he would be the better player.
Well, thank you for the call. Listen, you just talked about one of the things I talked about at the very top of the show. The sequence you're talking about is, I rip off a 23-yarder, I believe, on first and 25, or second and 25 it actually was, I guess. And then they went empty the first time and ran into the – actually, on second down, they went empty and then motioned Montgomery into the backfield, got nothing. Then on third down, they actually lost a half a yard. And then they go empty again, motion Montgomery into the backfield. And then Mitch is throwing the ball, and if it doesn't bounce off the receiver to Bobby Massey, you're screwed. And so I hated that sequence. The play calling overall, Pat, we can go back and forth about it. As far as the decision, I get where the caller is coming from. Nick Kwiatkowski was a bit of a revelation last year. But Nick Kwiatkowski on his best day isn't going to be the player that Danny was in his prime. And I think... what they're thinking there is that Trevathan, is still in his prime, and I'm not ready to say that he's not. And then you've got the leadership, factor there. And he's not being overpaid, not for where he was in free agency. So I'm not saying the caller's wrong. I just don't want to make a decision on this for a couple more weeks, because the other thing that was troublesome is that I would not have let both Kwiatkowski and Kevin Pierre-Louis leave. And they couldn't afford Kwiatkowski, but I was hoping KPL would be back. Because right now, if Danny can't go, you're talking either Iggy, Joe Ayibunaway, who has not shown me anything other than special teams, where I know they like Josh Woods a lot. And Josh Woods, I think, was ill this week, and that's why he was inactive today. But you're pretty thin right now if, in fact, Danny has gone down the backside of that hill.
Yeah, that's probably the thinnest position on the team, I think, and I agree with you on that. But Let's just hope Danny just is getting into shape. You know, let's call these the first two preseason games for him and expect to see the Danny Trevathan we saw last year against the Washington Redskins coming across the line of scrimmage on that short yardage play and punching it out and being the player that he has been. But I want to go back to that series, and I have it written down here, Hub, and it was driving me crazy during the game when it happened. That huge run by Montgomery was 22 yards. Then they get down to 3rd-and-1. So this is 4 minutes to go in the game. And they run a pass play, and it gets knocked down. But that stops the clock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're getting down to that point where you are, and I forgot what the score was at that point, but you can run all those seconds off. And if you know you're going to go for those 2 yards or that 1 yard for two plays, and the way you've been chunk running, you know, getting some chunk runs earlier in the game, that to me is game planning. That's somebody up in his ear needs to say, no. You can run, you get 50 seconds off the clock here no matter what, or, you know, just say whatever the number is. If we're going to go for it on 3rd and 4th down, now you're down to 3 minutes or 2 minutes and 50 seconds. And like you said, they got lucky as whatever for Bobby Maskey to catch that ball. I mean, Bobby Maskey was coming off a block on the ground. Good for him to be in the athlete he is. It's amazing how good these big athletes are to catch that and get it. But that to me was the key one. I have a huge question mark written there. Like, what is he thinking? There needs to be, and I'm sure there is, and I don't know how the communication went. There has to be somebody upstairs talking to him, and you walk through those situations and say, all right, here, if we're at 4 minutes, we can get down to X amount of seconds if we don't get the first down by running the ball twice and then give it back to our defense. And they got lucky to get that. And that to me was one that I'm sure he's going to want to have back. I'm sure that's one where he looks at himself in the mirror and is up in his meeting room and looking, you know, going through the game. He's like, oops, I messed that one up. All right, write that one down. Don't ever do that one again. So let's hope we don't see that happen again.
You know what I'd love to see? And there is precedent for it with Matt Nagy, because that's how he became a head coach. It's what his mentor, Andy Reid, taught him. Andy Reid's been calling plays in this league for 20 years. But every once in a while, he had to take a step back, and he let Doug Peterson call plays. And Doug Peterson ends up a head coach. And then he started calling him again. They had to take a step back, and he let Matt Nagy call plays. And Matt Nagy ends up a head coach. I say this repeatedly. I'm loath to get too deeply into play calling, because none of us are as good at it as we think we are. But I just would like to see him take a week. Let Bill Lazor do it. Let Dave Ragone do it. They did mess with it in the exhibition season late last year. Even if it's just for a week, and sit back and see what it looks like. See what you can learn from it. Maybe you take the play calling back again a week later. But at this point, from the day he got here, nobody but Matt Nagy has called a play. And he's now into his third season, and he just hasn't found a great rhythm yet. You know, and so I'd like to see him at least experiment with it a little bit. And you know, who knows what he might learn. Or maybe he'd find out he could be a better head coach by being a backseat driver and let somebody else do it, because he can step in anywhere he wants and change the play call anyway.
Do you think his play calling is better this year than it was last year? So far, two games.
Yeah,
I know it's a small sample size.
I was not really unhappy until the end of the third quarter today. I mean, I hadn't seen a lot that bothered me. There was a play in the second quarter. They're up 10-0, and the next drive stalls actually on the Anthony Miller drop pass, I guess, or maybe it was before the field goal. Then they come back on the next possession, and they get a first down, and they run for like 2 yards, and then on 2nd and 8, he's got Mitch doing a sprint out RPO with him as the run option.
Yeah. I think that's one of those plays like we were talking about. Yeah. He's like, oh, I haven't called this yet. Let's call this thing.
And in that spot, I hated it, because they were running the ball well with their running backs, you know.
Yeah.
But,
you
know, maybe he saw something in the defense that again, without seeing the tape and seeing what.
Yeah,
Until I can look at what he was looking at, I just don't know. But yeah, that's kind of an example. But we got time, Pat, for one more call.
Yep.
We got Cubs pregame coming up in just about 6-7 minutes. Parrish is out in Lake in the Hills. Parrish, how you doing today?
All right, and how you guys doing? Thanks for your call. Appreciate you guys doing what you do. Good Bears win. But my thing is this, Hub, and I'm going to speak, make a couple of comments and listen. First of all, I think that I'm looking at Rex. I'm looking at Mitch consistent play.
Freudian slip there, huh, Parrish?
Yeah, no doubt. That's what I was laughing.
Right. I think it's like good Rex, bad Rex, good Mitch, bad Mitch. So yeah, you guys caught me on that one. But I'm looking at the Mitch overall play. Now hear me out on this one. When Mitch has a more free flowing, more rhythmic
change the pace, speed it up, let's go, play free will like he did in the second half last week. He has more of a consistent rhythm. Same thing this, you know, today's game. First half, more rhythmic, more free-flowing. I know at the halftime, one of the broadcasters had said that he had completions to 10 different receivers. Now, when we start to get bottled in and we start to get predictable and we kind of take that free-willingness from Mitch, he struggles. He struggles all the time when he has to think rather than just get out there and make some consistent play. Jimmy Graham has to be a pivotal person in our offense. I know you guys have said it earlier, maybe they scheme to take the tight end away, but we have to make an emphasis to get big boy play. One-on-one jump balls, whatever the case may be. I think the third and one, like you said, you pointed out, was so predictable. You had 50, you know, you had a chance to run the clock down. You had two downs to get, you know, 1 yard. Stop being so predictable. And then one last thing. Why do we always go into a prevent defense when we're up 4 points with 4 minutes left and let them just gash us to death? I never understand why do we always, and I've been watching Bears for over 20 years, why do you always take the foot off the gas and let these teams just gash us? Because against good teams, Atlanta, you know, Green Bay, you know, coming in, these teams will wear us out if you play that type of defense. So hopefully next week we can make some more improvements on the offensive side against a good Atlanta team and, see where it goes. But I appreciate you guys taking my call.
Well, Parrish, thank you for the call. I'm going to give you the last part first, and it's a part that fans don't want to hear, but it's statistically a fact. Teams still play the prevent defense because it works more often than it doesn't, and it did work today. As much as it drove us nuts, you are forcing a team to make one play after another and be perfect, and eventually they make a mistake. And today it came late, forced into fourth down, and the only way they could do it was to commit pass interference. And so it worked. I know it drove you nuts, but it worked, and that's mm-hmm. why you do it, because you know it's not perfect, but it does work more often than it doesn't. You don't want to get beat gambling and trying to make a play where there isn't one. Pat, the one thing I will not cop out on with game tape or anything else, I will say it definitively, I agree with Parrish. Mitch is, at this stage of his career, a better quarterback playing hurry-up and playing pace than he is when they slow it down. And it doesn't matter. The other thing that surprised me is after setting a record for being under center last week, he wasn't under center as much this week. We'll find out more about that as we go on. But he definitely is better, you know, when he's playing pace and hurry up and you know, if nothing else, to keep him confident and making plays, maybe they just have to do more of it. I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm overall okay with how the game has been called at points. It's been mm-hmm. to me, it's been called better for him. And then the other head scratchers that you're talking about, Mitch is just not good at processing information yet. He did it better today in some situations, but when they just go, you know, all the wideouts and a one running back next to him and the shotgun and say, okay, figure it out, he's not great at that still, and we need him to get better at that. So I wish, actually, we're seeing a little bit more this year compared to last year where the offensive game plan fits Mitch more. But if Mitch wants to be great, if the Bears want to be great, he's the number two overall pick in the NFL a couple years ago. If he wants to be great and he was drafted there to be great, he needs to be able to do it all. And that to me is the simple, that's the Ryan Pace, I'm sure, understands that or knows that he needs to be able to do it all in his time of in his career where he needs to step up and be able to play fast-paced offense, be able to play slow-down offense, be able to sit back on third and 10 and be able to read the defense and take what they give you. So I agree he looks better in some styles of offense more than he does others, but to me, I want to see him do it all. I mean, that's why he was drafted second in the second overall in the NFL, and that's why Ryan Pace picked him.
Patrick, we are out of time on this week's edition of the Prop Swap Postgame Show. It has been a blast, as always. Always great spending my Sundays with you, pre and post. We'll do it again next week. Our thanks to Mike Mulligan. Mully will join us every week this week on the Postgame Show. Our thanks to all of our callers, our producer, Mike Rankin. Outstanding job. Hey, guys, the Bears are 2-0. That's why you play the game, is to win. We'll be analyzing it all week long. Big one in Atlanta next week. We'll be back to bring it to you. For now, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Thanks so much for listening, for calling in, and have a great Sunday evening, everybody. Go Bears.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.